Whether today is your first visit to USG or you've been coming here for years, you know this is a pretty active place. There's a lot going on here. And we communicate all that activity to you via the order of service, email, our website, and social media. That takes a lot of planning and a lot of coordination. Even though Gloria, Carolyn, Treva, and all of our wonderful volunteers make it look so easy, there are a lot of moving pieces. As your ministers, Kent and I are asked to submit each month little summaries of what we're going to preach about the next month so that these blurbs can be published in all the right places. In keeping with our monthly ministry theme of blessings, I decided I would preach on finding your blessings in life and looking on the bright side of things, and sent in my summary. And then, the sometimes chaotic, yet always interesting dance that is the life of this intern minister, student chaplain, program director, and caregiver was thrown off kilter when I was hit with a viral infection in my right eye. It's all fine now, but it really hurt for a couple of days. And then, the presidential campaign that we thought, hoped, prayed, couldn't get any uglier, somehow did just that. As new revelations about each candidate emerged, and they blanketed the airwaves with a last gasp, nonstop barrage of personal insults and attack ads. And then, police in riot gear used tear gas, mace, and pepper spray against the throng of protesters, hundreds of whom are clergy, who are marching, singing, and bearing witness on behalf of the Standing Rock Sioux and their fight against the Dakota Access Pipeline. On Thursday, just a couple of days ago, 25-year-old activist, journalist, and congressional candidate Aaron Schroeder was shot in the back with a rubber bullet, allegedly by police, while interviewing someone at the protest site. And then, our own Ending Racism Committee's Black Lives Matter Forum, which we had hoped would be a discussion of the issues and dialogue about ways to move forward toward racial justice, didn't exactly go as we'd planned. An organization that employs disruption as its chief strategy spoke and behaved in a way that left many in attendance feeling sad, confused, frightened, disheartened, impotent, and even angry. For several members of the USG community, visitors from other churches, and our guests, it was a traumatic experience. Reverend Kent and I spent many hours making sure that everyone has had the space and the opportunity to share their experiences and to process their feelings about the event, and to make sure that we can begin to think about how to move forward. These are just a few of the things that have been going on. Each of you today probably has a heart full of stuff that's been happening in your own lives. Health issues, money problems, stuff at work, or maybe stuff because you don't have work. Issues with the kids, your spouse, your parents, or your siblings. Just stuff. It's life. How could I possibly preach about looking on the bright side in the face of so much stress? Something about it just didn't feel right. But as I told you guys in my first sermon, I'm here to learn and to serve. In being forced to exercise self-care myself, in watching friends and colleagues drop everything and go to Standing Rock, and in spending time with members of this community as we processed our Black Lives Matter experience, I had a chance to rethink the concept of blessings and how we find them. There's so much more to this than just looking on the bright side of things. So I started with trying to identify just what a blessing is. I should have just asked the children, I would have learned that it's when you sneeze. But some other definitions that I found are God's favor and protection, a beneficial thing for which one is grateful, something that brings well-being, a special favor, mercy, or benefit. We think of blessings as those good things that happen to us, usually unexpectedly. This kind of blessing is that pleasant surprise, like the day in August when I found $10 in the pocket of a purse that I hadn't carried since the summer before. Or when the plumber tells you that they've made a mistake in calculating your estimate and that you only owe $25 for something that you thought was going to cost $2,500. Those kinds of blessings are obvious. They find you. But sometimes blessings are hidden. They have to be found. We say we're blessed with a wonderful spouse, great children, our health, a place to live, etc. Yes, these are most definitely blessings and surely things to be grateful for. My father died when I was 7. Whenever my schoolmates would complain about their dads, I'd remind them how blessed they were even to have a dad to complain about. As an adult, I know that life isn't always that simple, but it sure seemed that way to this little girl. Over time, I learned to find the blessings in my situation. I learned to be grateful for a mother who suddenly found herself widowed at the age of 46 with 3 kids still at home. I watched her learn how to drive, how to work the lawnmower, and how to do basic repairs on our big old country house. I watched her turn her talent for sewing into an income that kept us warm, clothed, and fed. My mother, who would be 92 this coming Friday, taught me strength, resourcefulness, and resilience. I didn't realize it then, but I sure know it now, that those lessons were blessings. Learning how to make do with less. Learning how to make or repair things when you can't buy new. Learning to be content with hot dogs and scrambled eggs for dinner. Learning to be creative in the face of poverty. Those lessons were all blessings. Not obvious things that jumped out at me, but blessings that I found. Blessings that carried me through college, through law school, through my professional career, and now into seminary and ministry. Yeah, sometimes blessings take the form of life lessons. I was reminded of that again in dealing with the aftermath of our Black Lives Matter event. Many people didn't know what to do with their feelings. Was the event a failure? Did they do something wrong? Should we give up? These are all questions I was asked. The answer to all three is no. You didn't do anything wrong. While parts of the event were unexpected and maybe not what we hoped for, it was still a success in many ways. If we look closely, we can find blessings in everything that happened that night and in the days since. We can find a blessing in the reminder we got that everyone doesn't speak our language or behave the way we do, or the way we want or expect them to behave. And that's okay. It really is. It doesn't mean we stop trying to communicate. It means we keep trying until we find a way that works. Not our way, not their way, a new way. I consider that a blessing. We can also find a blessing in the fact that the event shook us up a little bit. It made us feel. And in my book, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I know some parts of this have been painful for many of you. In a lot of ways, it hurt me too. It was a crash course for me in what it's going to be like to be a person of color serving as a UU minister in a congregation with an active anti-racism program. The very fact that we were moved and touched to our core, all of us, in a way that made us rethink and reevaluate what we're doing and recommit ourselves to our anti-racism, anti-oppression mission is a blessing. It's a blessing for me, and I hope you find it to be a blessing as well. Former LDS Church President Herbert Grant prayed that we be strengthened with the understanding that being blessed does not mean that we shall always be spared the disappointments and difficulties of life. I think he's right. If we look really closely, we can find blessings in those disappointments and difficulties. The challenge is in recognizing them as such. But that's exactly what we must do. Author Laura Schroff writes that the beauty of life is that inside these disappointments are hidden the most miraculous of blessings. I believe we have to work to reveal those blessings. We have to strive to make the most of all our life experiences, examine them, and learn from them. Lord knows sometimes those experiences are hard to bear. Sometimes they break our hearts. Sometimes they crush our spirits in ways that leave us feeling raw and exposed. Sometimes they just leave us feeling spent. Sometimes when we thought we were standing on solid ground, we realize, in fact, that we're standing on nothing but sand. Sometimes we're simply too wounded to process anything in the moment. And when that happens, it's okay to practice self-care and wait until we're able to deal with those experiences. My mom used to quote St. Barton's ode, "I am hurt, but I am not slain. I shall lay me down and bleed a while, then rise to fight again." That's how it is with these life lessons. Sometimes we have to rest a while until we're able to wade through the muck and find our blessing. The late Debbie Friedman said, we have to find the courage to make our lives a blessing. Yeah, there's some responsibility here. You have to use your blessings. Use them to improve your own life and the lives of those around you. I read somewhere a person had said that hell would be if God showed him what he could have done with the blessings and talents that he'd been given. Whether you believe the theology or not, The sentiment is true. We don't want to get to the end of our lives and find that we had these blessings and didn't use them to help those around us. I've had lots of blessings in my life so far, and hopefully I will continue to be blessed. My needs and many of my wants are met. Even though I'm annoyed by the nastiness of the campaign season, I find a blessing in the fact that I live in a country where I'm able to vote on Tuesday, at a time when so many people around the world can't. At a time when I'm only the fourth generation of my family to even be able to vote. I find a blessing in having this congregation and each of you to be my teachers and my partners in learning and in doing the work of our faith. And for each of my blessings, I'm truly grateful. In fact, sometimes I'm overwhelmed by them. As John Green, the founder of Emmaus Ministries in Chicago, says in his book, Street Walking with Jesus, the degree to which I am blessed staggers me. The degree to which I take that for granted shames me. So I'm going to leave you with some questions this morning. Have you found your blessings? Where? Have they been hiding in plain sight? Or are they buried somewhere in the muck waiting for you to muster the courage to uncover them? If you've already found some, even if it's just one, have you expressed your gratitude for it? And how are you using your lessons, your blessings, to improve your life or the life of another living being? So tonight, later today, sometime soon, just stop for a minute. Just stop, be quiet, and give it some thought. Look for your blessings. I pray you find them and use them well. May it be so.